Mike Kaika from the Dallas Morning News, longtime beat reporter for the Stars. Mike, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Doing great. How are you guys?
Good. Well, Mike, in Dallas, how is it the day after for U.S. hockey fans after their country got waxed in this short tournament?
I hate to tell you guys this, but nobody cares. It's football season down here, so I have to fight to get any kind of hockey buzz going. And I think the fact that the USA team at the World Cup did not fare well, there is absolutely zero buzz here about the World Cup right now.
I thought even with former Stars and Mike Modano and Brett Hull going off that maybe that would generate a little bit of excitement. We'll see. Now, before we get to hockey, a more pressing or urgent thing, the longtime voice of the Dallas Stars, Mike, do you have any update on Dave Strader with his cancer diagnosis?
Yeah, they just sent a release out today. And he has it's colon cancer, but it's a certain coloangiocarcinoma, which is apparently fairly rare and aggressive. He's gone through his chemo and his treatments, and at this point in time, he's hoping to call some games.
Oh, okay.
Their plan at this time is if he is unavailable, then Daryl Ray will move into the play-by-play chair, and Craig Ludwig will be the color man. And they're just going to go that way all year. And as many games as Dave feels healthy and well enough to call, he's going to get the call.
Okay, well, we'll definitely follow that and wish him and his wife, Colleen, all the best. Dave's always a great guy to have around. Now, speaking of illness to injury, the hairline fracture for Sagan, what's the prognosis on when they think he'll return?
Well, it's a really interesting thing. He's on crutches right now, but the thought process is that he'll be ready for the season opener. The problem is they went through this whole thing with him and the Achilles in the playoffs, so they don't want to really say, hey, you know, we think he's going to be ready for the season opener and then have it be a disappointment. I think the two things is, one, I don't think it's that big of an injury, but two, I think he wants to be 100% healthy before he goes back out there.
Yeah.
Because this is all on his right leg. He had the partially cut Achilles tendon. Then he tried to come back from that, and I think it caused the calf injury, although everybody else says, no, it's not related. It just happened. And then he has the fractured heel, and that's all on his right leg. And I think he just wants to feel 100% healthy before he goes back out there. So then it's up in the air. There's a really good chance he could play on opening night, or if it's not feeling good at that point in time, then they might wait a week or two just because they feel better to miss a week or two in October than to miss it in April.
Yeah, Mike, even if Tyler's healthy, as in cleared to play to start the regular season, we've all seen it before, no matter what the quality of player, if he's not out there skating, not out there going full speed with his teammates in practice in the preseason, even if it's only two or three games for an established guy, it can mean a slow start. You don't want to be one step behind when the season starts.
Yeah, and Robin, you know as well as anything, that's his game. His game is speed. And so if he's even a half step behind, then I think it does affect how he plays the game. And he's also a guy who's a little bit risky, and this team's a little bit risky. And if he's, you know, a little bit shy to get, you know, to use the speed and to use, you know, the risk, then it is better for him to sit out.
So he'll be very cautious. The Dallas Stars, you know, obviously him and Jamie Benn, one of the best, maybe the most productive duo in the National Hockey League. They want some other scoring. Jason Spezza had a fantastic season last year, but you know, they lost a lot of guys on their back end, Mike, and you know, guys like Goligoski and Demers, who are pretty good puck movers. Do you think the Stars have enough puck mobility from the back end?
It's going to be a transition for them. The biggest complaint against him last year was those puck movers are all tiny by NHL standards. You know, so many of them were 6 foot or smaller. So many were under 200 pounds. You go to Klingberg, Goligoski, Chris Russell. Demers wasn't that big. And so now what you're putting in here is, in place of Goligoski, you got Dan Hamhuis. Now, he's not huge, but he's bigger. And a lot of, you know, depending on what you believe, a lot of people believe he still can move the puck pretty well. He'll just be a little bit more defensive. You know, now you've got Steven Johns, who's 6'4", 225, and pretty much earned a spot in the playoffs last year. And then now you've got Esa Lindell, who's 6'3", I think 215, And he, you know, played for Finland. I think he's going to get a chance to fight for one of the top six spots. And I think Patrick Nemeth and Jamie Oleksiak, who are both huge, will also get more of a chance this year to earn a spot in the top six. So it's going to be a different group of defensemen. It might take a little while for them to adjust, and they might be a little less skilled, but the thought process is they might also be a lot better defensively.
Mike, looking up front now, I mean, Sagan's got a job, obviously, the second he's ready to go. But how many openings are there in those 12 forward slots? You know, Val Nichushkin's gone now. You know, he was a bottom six guy, and he tailed off a little bit, but he's still a body you need to replace. Is that where the questions are in terms of lineup for you?
No, you know, one of the questions, Robin, is they have a lot of guys who are too skilled. I mean, honest and truly, the balance they have is they were the leading scoring team in the league by 15 goals last year. Mm-hmm. I think they will be again. I think their power play could be even better. But they have a lot of the same guys. They have Patrick Sharp. They have Alex Hemsky. They have Patrick Eve. All, you know, power play guys who are kind of small, a little bit older. Then they add Yuri Hudler, who's kind of small, a little bit older. And so they're really working to find that mix of, you know, skill and still pretty good defensively. And so what the hope, I believe, is that younger, bigger guys like Curtis McKenzie, Brett Ritchie, and maybe even Devin Shore push some of those top six guys and give them a little bit more balance. One of the things Lindy Ruff did last year was he played Cody Eakin at center with Ben and Sagan because he wanted that defensive element. He played Matthias Janmark with Jason Spezza because he wanted that defensive element on the second line. So that, I think, is a big thing. They have plenty of skill. Honest and truly, there's a good chance Hudler or Sharp, you know, could be guys who you know, play on the third or fourth line. And that, you know, that's really not where they're probably best used. But that's, you know, that's how much skill the Stars have. So it's a matter, I think, of finding the right balance. I mean, Jim Nill says they're, you know, a top nine team where, you know, they really are going to have three lines with pretty good skill and maybe one defensive guy, one two-way guy on each line. But it's an interesting mix, and I do think it's going to be a challenge for them to find the right mix of forwards with the right, you know, with the right players.
Mike Hajka from the Dallas Morning News joins us previewing the Dallas Stars. Yuri Hudler, a one-year, $2 million contract. Where do you see him slotting in? And then second to that, Radek Faxka, what's your expectations of him?
Well, Hudler, now that Val's not here, spot next to, you know, depending on what Lindy wants to do. If he wants to play Eakin with Ben and Sagan, if everybody's healthy, he can try that again. But there's a lot of people who believe you come out the gate with Ben, Sagan, and Hudler, and hope that he, you know, relives his great year in Calgary from 2 years ago. Then you could have Sharp, Spezza, and Janmark on the second line come in with probably Roussel or, you know, somebody else, maybe even Ritchie or McKenzie with Faxa and Hemsky, and then, you know, whatever you got going on the fourth line. So Hudler, they have high expectations. They really, you know, Jim knows him very well because he drafted him and brought him into the league in Grand Rapids. They believe he's a 20, 25, you know, maybe 30-goal scorer if he gets the right time on the power play and on the top line. And then with Faxa, he's just been great. He is, he's battled injuries since he's been drafted, but he had a healthy year last year, and I think people saw at the end of the year and in the playoffs, this is a really good two-way shutdown centerman, you know, third-line guy. And I think they can put his ability to play, you know, to score goals and shut down the other team's best players makes him a player who can play with anybody. They had him with Roussel and Hemsky, and that line was successful. But they really can take some chances with guys and move them around, and I think they'll be fine.
Mike, who's the player who you wouldn't consider to this point in his career a full-time NHLer who's most likely to grab a job and be in the lineup more nights than not and make something of an impact?
That's an interesting question. McKenzie, and again, he's young, but he's 25, and he had, I think, 20-something goals in the AHL last year. I really like him. I think he's a guy who could step up. I think it might be Hudler. You know, I think Cam Hughes is Cam Hughes. If he's healthy, A lot of people believe he'll go back to what he was before he got hurt in Vancouver. So that's a guy who could have a really nice comeback year. But I think the guy is Hoodler. I think he's going to get the opportunity to play on the power play. Everybody seems to think that he has the ability to play. He's going to be playing for a bigger contract. So I think he's motivated. I think he and Jim have a good trust within each other. I think he's excited to be in this organization. That may be a guy, if you're a poolie, you might want to consider Yuri Hoodler.
Yuri Hoodler, interesting. Now, the main question, which goalie do you think they go with? Who's the right answer? What are they doing in between the pipes?
This is really interesting because I really like Kari. Kari's one of my favorite people. He's the nicest guy. He's funny. He's just, you know, he's a great guy. And he's also talented. I mean, the guy is a $6 million goalie. He was a second overall pick. And he went in last year, and he won that game 6 in St. Louis, and everyone's like, all right, he's bust through. He's finally going to do this. He's going to win a big game. And then he goes in the game 7 and loses it in the first period. So he's just an enigma. And I think they have lost a certain amount of trust in him. And so I think what we're going to see is them leaning towards trying to get Niemi up and running, because I do believe the biggest question on goaltending for this team is who can win in the playoffs. Niemi has done it before. And so I think if you're a smart organization, you try and prop him up and get him to a point where maybe he takes the ball in the playoffs, or you make the trade and go get somebody else. And, you know, I lean that they might do option 2, but until they do, I think their option might be they might lean on Niemi to try and become a better goalie because he's done it before in the playoffs.
Interesting. What do you see the split there in goal, assuming they give Niemi that push in terms of workload?
Well, the problem with all of these great theories that I have is that Lindy Ruff tries to win each game, and it frustrates fans who want younger players to develop. And it frustrates media who, you know, sit there and go, why aren't we trying to do this or do that? Because he's trying to win every game. And I think what will happen is the goalie that's hot will be the goalie that gets the starts. And so as much as you and me and the fans all want to try and, you know, make this plan that we're going to get to a better goalie once the playoffs come, Lindy's history that I've seen is whoever hot will get the games. And so then it's going to have to unfold that way and play out that way. And what happened last year was Kari was a hotter goalie at the end of the season and in the playoffs, and he got the games. When Niemi was given a chance in the playoffs, he was kind of cold and didn't grab it. And then, you know, they rode Kari all the way to what some people believe was the inevitable conclusion of him, you know, falling apart in a very big game. And as much as that's hard for fans who hit their head against the wall, I think it's what they might do again. They have a tendency to want to win every game, and so then they go with the players who are playing best, and they don't really look at the long-term, you know, plan or future.
And one last one. You mentioned Dan Hamhuis, of course. They feel he'll be a big star. John Klingberg, kind of the guy they're building their defense around. Young Jamie Oleksiak, we saw his sister, Penny, become really the sweetheart of Canadian swimming, and he was there, and he was pumped up. And, you know, this guy's a first-round pick who's taken some time to develop, likely, I think, because of his size, and most big guys take a little bit longer. Are the Stars expecting that this is kind of the year maybe he makes a consistent, regular impression in the National Hockey League?
They're very much hoping that he does. And I think, as strange as it sounds, I think his sister really has motivated him. Everybody says he had a fantastic summer, that he really wants to dig in and fight for the job. What they did last year was they set up, you know, basically a rotation of, you know, fighting for playing time with Jordy Benn, Jyrki Jokipaka, Patrick Nemeth, and Jamie Oleksiak. And Oleksiak played the fewest games. And, you know, I know that was disappointing for him. I think it was disappointing for the Stars because they were hoping he would jump up and force the Stars' hand the way that Steven Johns did. I think he's more ready to do that this year, but they still are going to carry 8 defensemen, and that means they're still going to scratch 2 on a regular basis. And so it's going to be a battle for Jamie to get into the lineup, you know, game to game, and to get some flow going. I believe there's an opportunity for him there. I'm not exactly sure that, like, if you're betting that he's going to do it or not, it's still a 50-50 proposition.
Mike, as always, appreciate the rundown. We'll talk to you throughout the year.
All right. Thanks again, guys.